start. We're on air. So, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is John Johnson on Radio Edgy Talk. We've got something different tonight. The show is going to be a little dangerous. With me is Karen Lawson, who is involved with the hashtag Dangerous Ed. Good evening, Karen.
Good evening, John. Very nice to be here. It's great for you to invite me to be on your show.
This is super to have you. Could you maybe start off by telling people a wee bit of your background and where you work when you're not not doing what the main topic of the evening is, which is the dangerous emporium of dangerous ideas?
Yeah, sure. Well, I work at College Development Network, which is the support agency for all colleges in Scotland. So we do a variety of work that is around CPD activity, looking at how schools and colleges work, and preparation for university, looking at qualifications, developments in learning and teaching. So a really wide range of activity. I've been there 5 years, and I particularly focus on sort of creative learning networks, which we do in partnership with Creative Scotland and Education Scotland, and also with leadership development, and a lot of work around more creative approaches to learning and teaching, like cooperative learning. So a lot of my work really revolves around that. Prior to that, I worked at what was Stevenson College, now Edinburgh College, and was teacher fellow there for 2 years, which was about disseminating and developing creative approaches to learning and teaching in the college. So I come from a college background, and also prior to that from a social work background, so working with children and families predominantly. So it's kind of an interesting route. And I guess I've always been interested in different ways of seeing social issues and problems, and whether that's within a classroom or, you know, within a sort of locality. So it's about looking at it from different perspectives and thinking about different things.
Brilliant. And this certainly, the topic tonight, this Emporium of Dangerous Ideas, is certainly, I think, creative and different. Just if anybody's listening out there and you're listening and you've got a question for Karen or a question about the Emporium of Dangerous Ideas, if you tweet with the hashtag EdgyTalk, we'll try and pick that up and answer it if we can. So maybe we could start off, Karen, by is there an elevator pitch for the Emporium of Dangerous Ideas?
In terms of people being involved, or
what is it?
Yeah,
I know a wee bit about it now because I've read about it and I've talked to you, but it's a strange title.
Yes, I mean, it's actually changed title. We started it 4 years ago, and it was called the Festival of Dangerous Ideas, and it came from the notion of that we wanted to think about how we could change education. How could it be? If you could really start again, or you could think differently about it, what would it be? And so I thought about that and think that that's quite a difficult question. But people do have ideas. They constantly talk about if only we could do this, or if things were different. And so people out there, whether it's in colleges, schools, universities, community area, have got ideas about how they would like education to be. In fact, everybody does. Everybody talks about their own education and has an idea about how it could have been better. So we wanted to create something that really invited people to share those ideas, and not just share them in a sort of talking shop, but actually think about how we create opportunities to change the things that we think need to change. So it's very much a future-orientated education festival, which is about looking at the things that we think are really important and need to change. And obviously sometimes that means it's quite dangerous for someone along the way, whether that's for a classroom teacher or whether it's for an organisation. Change is often perceived as being difficult and has an impact on somebody along the way.
Right, and just on the impact thing, you said something there. I mean, it's not about, well, I'm guessing it's not the, just the idea, because we can, yeah, we can go down to the pub and have a lot of good ideas about how we change, yeah, education. You said it was about how we get to there, I think.
Yeah, so I think that it's partly that process about starting to, you know, you might have an idea in the pub and talk to somebody else about it, and it might remain there. Or you might then, if you share it enough with other people and find out who else is interested in this idea, and that's really what it's about. It's about developing a kind of movement. So who's interested in your idea? Who would like to take that forward? And creating these kind of circles of change so that you've got an impetus to take that forward, finding people who across sectors sometimes or within a school or within a college that can think a bit differently about that. So taking it forward and trying it out in practice in perhaps a small way, and then reflecting on that and what impact it's had, and thinking about, well, how could we then disseminate some of that? So some of it might be about dissemination of ideas into practice, but a lot of it is about trying to really create a type of movement around something.
And so it started off as a festival.
Yes, it did.
And it became an emporium.
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
Well, the Emporium was an event that was held within the festival. It was a final event, and that's where people came with their ideas and pitched them, and everybody had dangerous dollars, which they had then to give to the ideas they liked best. So that was a kind of an event. So the name was always very important, and people quite often used to call it the Emporium rather than festival. But there was two main reasons why we changed it. One was that there is already a Festival of Dangerous Ideas in Sydney, and they were very kindly allowed us to use the name in the first year and the second year, but we became increasingly aware that theirs is a very different type of festival. And we didn't feel it was really fair to kind of hang on to someone else's name. So we wanted to change it, but we also felt that festival has a kind of celebratory one-off feel about it, whereas the Emporium was felt more like buying and selling of dangerous ideas, and it felt more in keeping with what we were trying to do. So we've kind of confused things a little bit by taking the name of one of the key events and using it for the entire festival, but I like it better. It is an education festival in its way, but it has got this idea of buying and selling.
It sounds like somewhere that's maybe just off the main street, that it maybe looks slightly old-fashioned or has paned windows, and you peer through, and these ideas are chirping away in the background or whatever.
It's like a shop of curiosities or something, and I think there is that element of the Emporium. It's about curious, you know, being curious about things and thinking about how they could be, and kind of blowing off the dust of sort of ideas. I don't know, it's just quite a nice name, really, to be honest. I suppose that's one of the things that's quite different about this as an education festival, that it can happen anywhere, and it's not as if we really make great judgments about people's ideas. Anyone can put on an event, as long as it's about kind of testing out different ideas about education and putting things forward. We don't have a big selection sort of thing about, you know, it's very inclusive. Anyone can take part.
So, I mean, for people looking for more information, we'll put the URL. It's not the most one that trips off the tongue here. I would suggest that people would Google Emporium of Dangerous Ideas if you can't wait. But when I put the audio up, we'll have that link in the show notes. Now, it's running this year from the 9th to the 19th of June.
Yep.
And you said something about just there that you don't... It's almost like you're not running all these events.
No, I think we curate them. I mean, that's my title, is Curator of Dangerous Ideas.
Brilliant. Yeah. And,
self-appointed, of course.
Yeah.
But I think that what we really wanted to do was work with lots of different sectors and really invite people to come and put their events on during the time. So we put some on, and others are put on by other organisations like Character Scotland. I've got a big event on culture and values and looking at the importance of that in education and the empowering of children and young people to prove outcomes in their lives. So that's a major conference that's going on that they've put on. And colleges have put their own events on as well. But we do work in partnership as well to do things. A lot of that's about working with other people. We're working with Drygate Brewery, for example, to put on an event about brewing. Yeah, so there's a dangerous idea.
That seems to look quite it would make for a good event, yes. Perhaps. And I'm kind of interested in the why Drygate Brewery would be interested in education. It's
Well, it's interesting because it's a craft brewery or a microbrewery, and really the idea came from looking from an element of actually looking at this kind of movement and sort of microbrewing as a sort of metaphor for education. That what we tend to do is have a sort of large name sort of canned approach to.
So this is the pushback against the insert your big name of beer company here,
exactly.
For education and do some
sort of mass produced there, and actually that the movement towards having something that is a bit more sort of tailored and, you know, a bit more of an individual choice around that. Mm-hmm. So there was a kind of metaphor around that, and we talked quite a few people, Sarah Drummond from Snook Design, and MacLab were both, you know, were kind of design organisations, were really interested in this, and both of them work with young people and, you know, really interested in what motivates and inspires young people. So we were having a conversation along with Paul Gorman, that we do a lot of work with and is involved in a lot of schools, a lot of colleges and actually universities, coming from an arts background, about how do you really captivate young people and get them interested, and is there a danger, you know, that we're going to have a sense of employability is a major theme, as everybody knows. So how do we make sure that that's meaningful for young people, and how do we actually look at the enterprise elements and really making sure that they're kind of involved in things that really interest them? So we were talking about that in Drygate, and they've got connections there, and Drygate were really interested. They work with a lot of design students, and they do a lot of work with students in universities and art school, and they were very interested in this whole notion about passion, but also the STEM subjects, because with brewing you're talking about, you know, a lot of STEM and the sense of creativity and STEM. So they offered us a day with lecturers and teachers to brew our own beer. And that's what we did. We brewed our own beer, and then they've been set off into teams to design the label and the branding for that. And then they've got to put that out through their own social enterprise and social media. So create their own social enterprise type organization and use social media to promote their beers. So the day that we'll be having at Drygate in June, mm-hmm. will be about these organizations talking, as well as RSA Scotland, who have sponsored this event, to talk about what have we learned from that, and why are people interested in sort of microbrewing, and hear from the people that work there as well, because their whole stories of how they come to work there through education, and sometimes, you know, contrary to what their degree might be in, they've come to work there because they love the passion and the interest and the flexibility of the work and the way that they work there. So it's been really interesting project, actually, to be involved in. And I think it'll be a really interesting day. And, of course, there will be, at the end of the day, some sampling.
I was going to say, because you're obviously making all this beer, and it would be a terrible waste.
It would be a terrible waste.
For these not to be...
Yeah, we really need some people to come and help us.
Not judged.
And I know teachers are not really interested in alcohol and beer, but maybe for that day an exception could be made.
We could probably manage. And that's on Thursday the 18th of June.
18th of June, yeah.
It's running for the whole day.
Yeah, So it's not just about the sampling. It really is about looking at the range of skills. And we're not suggesting that, you know, all young people want to go off and brew beer, but we're saying there's something about this maker culture.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of this is about the maker culture, and people being really actively involved in some sort of activity has huge benefits. And it's something that's often overlooked. in terms of perception that you need other academic subjects, and is this something that's actually more vocational, where it really is quite a complicated business. And it's interesting, the brewer we spent the day with was a neuroscientist. He trained there and worked and was working in research and left there to work at the brewery because he found it much more satisfying. So it's quite a nice one, really challenging some assumptions around the type of occupation or interest that people have.
And for this event and other events, when they are from, I think quite a lot of them are, some of them are 10 till 3. Is a day going to be, will it be a program or?
Yeah, there's usually a program that's online, so people to there are programs there. Not all of them are. I think the there's some that are a bit shorter from that, and that is something actually that we will look at if people say it's very difficult for us to get away for a day, and it is possible in some of them, you know, for people to come perhaps for half a day. There could be a sense of that. But I think on the 12th of June, there's, you know, on the Friday the 12th, there is one about failure. And that's, I think, a little bit less, because I think that there was a sense that for that one that people might not be able to manage for a whole day. But that's quite an interesting one as well, failing in education in Livingston. So an essential part of learning, but, you know, looking at how the education system provides authentic learning that thrives on risk, experimentation and failure. So if you go to the website, there's always more information and the timings about these, and also who to contact, because we're not always going to be the contact for every event.
Yeah, I see that one's booked through brown paper tickets.
So again, it's just, we're just holding that information, but I think that'd be a really interesting one to go to.
I mean, the whole program just is, there's one interesting thing after another. Could you maybe sort of turn back a wee bit and bring a highlight or two from previous ones? Something that you've, let's just start with something you think particularly enjoyed or went well from the previous years.
Yeah, I think there's so many, but I think one that always sticks in my mind was the launch. Well, both the previous launches that we've had, the one in Kelvin Hall and Museum and Art Gallery in the main foyer, we had a number of keynote speakers, including Henry McLeish. Sort of quite prominent people, Mel Young, who ran the big issue in now the Homeless World Cup. And it was great because we had it as a silent disco, in terms of that people had headphones and the speakers were speaking, but the audience could go anywhere they liked within the museum. And not only that, but they had a channel which was for music, so you could either listen to the speaker or you could listen to
zone out.
It's not for me, you know. Yeah. And that was really good. So people could watch from the balconies, they could go, and we had the real David Cameron. He couldn't be there, but he did a podcast, so we asked people to go and find a piece of art that they really liked and sit there and listen to what he had to say about tearing down the hierarchies. And, you know, often people said, oh, that was just fantastic, you know, that experience of being somewhere. And I think that really influenced a lot of people to think about the notion of lecturing and or talking at people quite a bit, when actually do you need to be there, or where can you be? So quite a lot of people have said afterwards that, you know, they've taken their class out, or they've actually taught their classes in more public places. And the good thing about that was actually lots of members of the public just joined in, because it was open to anyone. And I really like that idea. I think, why do we keep education so segregated that, you know, you're doing something, it could be very public, and there was lots of school children and big parties going by, you know, sort of stopping and listening to this. So it had a feel of people being really involved. So that was great, because it kind of changed the notion of that you have to have things in conference halls, or you have to have them in a classroom, or you have to have them in a lecture theatre. And you think, you know, sometimes it's just, we, you can have a public space, and we didn't have to pay for that space. Cavanaugh very, you know, just let us have it, and all we paid for was the headphones and the PA. So, you know, you don't have to do things, CPD, that's going to cost a lot of money. You can just be quite imaginative about that. So that was really good. And last year we had the launch in the Riverside Museum, the Transport Museum in Glasgow as well. And that was in the old street where we had all the speakers in the shops. You know, they've got an old...
I remember it in the old Transport Museum. I haven't been to the new one, shamefully.
Well, they have all those kind of... And yeah. Again, that was brilliant because we had the speakers in there. And so when we called it the invisible lounge, so that when people arrived, they were expecting to see, you know, speakers there, and they couldn't, you know, they had to find them. So it's about turning things around a little bit and saying, you know, you have to go and engage with them. Mm-hmm. We really shy away from that notion of sort of the power always lying with the speaker, and that sense that there's an engagement there and you have a responsibility and go and talk to them and find out what it is. And we had City Centre manager there talking about how we could be using some of the shops more effectively for teaching, for learning. And just very different things. And some people from Iceland as well, talking about the system there. And an explorer, and talking about the role of failure and how important it is actually to try things and not always succeed. So we had very different things. And, of course, we had David Cameron, the real one, in the pub as pub landlord, holding court. And never has he looked so comfortable. So... It was. There's an element of fun about these, but actually, it's providing those opportunities that people can think a bit differently. And I think that's what people really get out of it, is a sense of trying something different and thinking a bit differently. And sometimes that's a little small change that we hear that people take back, and they say, I've stopped talking as much in the classroom, and I've, you know, really encouraged the students to think about really creative projects to do and really encourage their creativity. And we get, you know, whole colleges who have really embraced this notion of cross-curriculum activity and thinking differently about how they... you know, sometimes getting rid of the timetable, seeing that's a huge barrier. It's probably easier than colleges and schools, but a sense of is the timetable the barrier to learning, and what do we do about it?
Well, I think actually, from a primary school background, that there always was some opportunities to go off timetable in a primary school, because you haven't got people waiting next.
Absolutely.
And very often the... not sure the most educational, but the most enjoyable lessons are things I was involved in, were things that just took off and took over a space or time that wasn't really meant to be. A couple of things strike me from these. One is this engagement with the speakers. Very often when we go along to things, the idea is, oh, I want to sit in the back.
Yeah.
And I want to sit back and judge the person who's talking to or at me, and you've very much subverted that if you're making people search for the person, or the person is not there, and they're a disembodied voice in your ear, and you're saying, well, it's okay to listen to something else if you want to. And that sort of reminds me very much of the early Teach Meets back in 2007. Very often the first few were in not learning type spaces. You know, there was one in a hotel room, and in the hotel beside the SECC, where they had far too many people for, I'm sure, fire and health and safety, squashed in this room. And then the next year they had one in the Science Centre, where you really had permission to ignore the speakers and plenty of space to do it, you know. And I found those just very exciting and very inspirational and engaging. I got a huge amount out of them. So I imagine this, you're almost designing this space to break your preconceptions of what a learning space is, perhaps.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that, I think that's a really good description of it, is where people are doing it for themselves, really. And it's interesting how hard it is to maintain that. Mm. that quite often, you know, we're our own worst enemies, and we look for keynote speakers or people to come along, and we take away that essence that actually all teachers, staff have got really good ideas, and there's something about our own confidence to put that forward if we constantly look to other people. So I think it is trying to subvert that a bit and get back to the people themselves actually have great ideas and, you know, a willingness to try things and take risks. So it does sound very similar to that. Yeah. And it's good that we've got a Teach Meet as one of the events for this year. Well, which is really good.
I'm a bit disappointed because I'm going to be on holiday and away in other parts other than Scotland when that's going on. But I very much hope, because Teach Meets over the years, as they got older, got, I would say, slightly more staid. And more people all sitting rows looking at the front, and it might be a variety of your colleagues talking as opposed to somebody that's flown in, but it's still, you know, directed one way. And I think they've got the chance by adding dangerous into the title. that's a good chance to shake things up a wee bit. And certainly talking to some of the people involved, I think that's their idea. And that's in the 13th of June, and it's a Saturday, and it's called a School Takeover Teach Meet.
I mean, I think that from a school, it's really good actually, because we've got a lot of schools involved this year, and that's been a really positive move for our finale, which is the Creative Change finale, which actually will be in College Development Network rooms. And part of that is because last year we had the finale in one of the Kelpies, and that was a phenomenally fantastic experience, and it was the one that wasn't normally open to the public, and we got access, and it was great. But, you know, that's not a normal environment for most people. So this year, what we've done is we've gone to our event spaces, which are good. They're just, you know, ordinary event spaces in College Development Network. And it's part of a Creative Learning Network project that we've been doing on creative change. And that's where we've had lots of schools and colleges working with creative catalysts and creative coaches to look at an issue or a problem they've been experiencing and haven't really got anywhere with. And they've been working with someone from the creative sector to think differently about that problem. So they're going to be sharing, instead of doing it as the normal format, of just kind of having speakers, they've been asked to create an exhibition about their learning from that, and so they're all really taking that on board and will be sharing their kind of outputs from that project, really, which has been going on for about 6 months. So there's some really interesting things around, you know, the teaching of maths. We've got Dalry Primary School there talking about sustainable creative learning hubs, resilience, and increasing pupil and parent voices, and so some really interesting projects.
So there's two that fascinate me. This one you mentioned, maths, but this is teaching fractions, which is so far so boring. But it's with the National Youth Choir of Scotland.
So I'd
be fascinated to find out how that happens.
I know. So I don't know. I just know sort of some of the sort of background to some of these, but I know that it's been a huge success and that people have really benefited. And I think that's the sort of thing that it would be really good if we can get a lot of people coming along and finding out a bit more, because the artists will be there as well as whoever was involved from the school. Sometimes it's a head teacher, sometimes it's somebody else. So I think it's quite incredible what they've been doing, and it'll be great if we were able to share that and have that as the finale. We'll also be looking at whatever else has happened during that time. I was just going to say we kind of do a roundup at that point of what's happened at the events, but it'll be a great chance for people to see how you can turn an environment into something else.
So I'm just on if people go to the programme for the Podium, and I say the links will be there. Just a fascinating series, because you've got two solid weeks, and I think it looks like at least one event on every day for 2 weeks, and some days there's three. And education orange with clockwork in the yes. middle, and that seems to be on the subway.
So again, following that kind of format that actually you don't need to spend a lot of money.
Yeah, well,
but they're very much looking at the non-iconic stops.
Right.
So they're going for the sort of looking at a learning environment wherever the stops are in the subway. So it's only the price of a ticket. Mm. And join that, and that's a very varied group of people that want to be are going to be going to that. So that's great that they've really attracted a variety of people, and we could have some more. It would be really good.
That's brilliant. Yeah. So we said we were going to talk for about half an hour, Karen, and that's about it. But is there anything you want to pick out or from this year's program?
What I would say is that we have just very few sort of seats are available for the leadership one, which is actually again in Drygate Brewery on the 10th of June. So anyone that's in a leadership position, and I use that in terms of anyone who feels that themselves, not that they've been given one. But we have David Price will be, and he has been writing a book called Open. And that's about the really impact of technology. So he's coming, and he's a renowned worldwide speaker. So anyone who's really passionate about that whole area, I would try and, you know, get a ticket for that, sign up for that, because I think that would be a rare opportunity to see him. And Paul Collard, who's phenomenal in terms of creative learning, and quite a few other speakers there. But I think that would be a really good event. It's. I think we maybe got about five places left at that, but I think if anyone's really interested, I think that'd be really good to come to, as well as that we have a research one, which is about researchers if education really mattered, and I think that is the role about, so those that are interested in research, we have that one there as well, so definitely worth having a look at, and it's around poverty and inequality, so I think it's worth having a good look at that, some great speakers.
So that, I mean, these things are talking very much to things that are exciting people in education at the moment, the attainment gap or open
Absolutely.
Education and
Absolutely.
All this stuff. It just looks an emporium indeed. I'd quite like just to mention that we've got a wee bit of EduTalk possibilities,
yes.
some dangerous EduTalk hopefully going on over the emporium. And it's more of an invite from us to anybody who's going to any of the events to record their reflections on the event or a conversation with somebody else, and we're not looking for some sort of polished bit of studio audio. We're looking for them to pull a phone out of their pocket and record a wee bit of audio, and there's a couple of ways they can do that. They could use the very popular app Audio Boom, which is really straightforward. It's available for smartphones, Android and iOS. And you basically post that audio to Audioboom, and if you tag it Dangerous Ed, it'll automatically get syndicated into EduTalk. And that's a kind of, I suppose, a dangerous idea that EduTalk is based on, that anybody who wants to can contribute to our site and to our stream. And the other way they can do it is just, again, record audio on anything at all. Well, maybe not a cassette tape, I think that probably be difficult. But, you know, post us that. But if you can record any kind of audio file with a reflection of the Dangerous Ed, and just email it to audio@edutalk.cc, and we'll pick it up. There's details of that on the edutalk.cc site. We've now got a menu item, Dangerous Ed. I think it's Dangerous Ed. I'll just check. Dangerous Ideas. There's a menu item on the EduTalk site, Dangerous Ideas, and we're beginning to pick up or build up some stuff there. Other invite we've got is we're hoping somehow, I haven't figured that out exactly, to get some of the audio from your very first event and host that on the site.
Oh yeah, brilliant.
But the invite for that is for people to take that down and do something creative with it.
Mm.
You know, put it over a bit of music or cut it up or chop it up, you know, pull out the important points and put them together, that sort of idea. And there's a link to one of the best pieces of educational audio I've ever seen. I'll pop it on to that post, and it was a piece called Bag of Gold. And it's by an American lecturer, Campbell Gardner. Maybe it's Gardner Campbell, I'm not sure. Who was talking about this bag of gold being the idea of all the affordances we get from using technology in a classroom and why people wouldn't use it. And somebody took it and cut it over a bit of rap music. And Gardner Campbell has quite a rhythmic voice to start with, and it's just a fantastic bit of inspirational audio. So we're hoping that people with a smidgen of musical talent, or just the willingness to roll up Audacity or GarageBand or something like that and mess about, will play a wee bit dangerously with the audio from the first event and send it over to us. So that would be nice. We could get some serious reportage, or when I say serious, I mean casual serious, because it's just casual. It's just 5 minutes of, or 2 minutes of you talking about one of the events you've been to, or interviewing somebody, or having a chat. And very often we get some really nice stuff. There's more details to say on EduTalk, and I'll link it all up to this podcast when it goes up in the next day or two. So
that's great, though. We really welcome that, and I think it'll be a fantastic addition to this year's appointment. It's really good to build on that and involve people in that way. It's very much about that kind of co-creation, and that should be the sense of reviewing it as well. And then that hopefully will help us plan next year's.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping just to get a bit of insight into what goes on and hear from people at a distance, which is probably the best I'm going to do, unless I can think of a good excuse to get to an event or two.
I'm sure. I certainly think the one in the brewery is.
probably have to go to that now. I'd be really interested to try and get along to at least something. I say I'm away on holiday the first week, but I think that the second week sounds there's some great things. I'd love to come. I think it just leaves me to say a big thank you to you, Karen. There's obviously tons of things people can do. There's lots of events to go on. You can follow the Dangerous Ed hashtag on Twitter if you're on Twitter. And as I say, I'll have the link. But I found the easiest way to find it was Google Emporium of Dangerous Ideas, and it'll take you right in there.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
And folk listening out there, as usual, if you go to edgetalk.cc, this audio will be up shortly, and you can see on the up and coming page what will be on over the next week while on EduTalk. So I'll just say thanks very much again, Karen, and good night to you out there.
Good night. Thank you very much.